أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد،
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم:
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد،
من أخلص لله 40 صباحا جرت ينابيع الحكمة من قلبه على لسانه. صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Under the discussion of this hadith of the Holy Prophet, we were talking about the 25 practical tips which Ayatullah al-Uzma Sayyid Mahdi Tabatabai Bahrul Ulum Rahmatullahi Alayh had mentioned, and our discussion had reached the close to the 20th practical tip about the purification of the soul. And the discussion was about Mujalasatul Ulama, what Sayyid Mahdi Tabatabai Bahrul Ulum has mentioned as a factor that helps us to achieve the taharat of the qalb and cleanliness of the soul, is mujalasat of ulama. That means hanging around with the scholars. I already told you in the previous Thursday what exactly we mean from the word quote unquote al-ilm whenever it is mentioned in the hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. According to what Shaheed Mutahhari, this great research scholar, has mentioned, that the word ilm in the hadith of the Prophet actually stands for ilmul akhirah. That means every knowledge that has something to do, some benefit for you on the Day of Judgment. So any knowledge which you can achieve, which you can acquire and learn for the sake of Allah, which has some benefit for you on the Day of Judgment, falls in the category of the word al-ilm when the Prophet talks about the knowledge. And despite the fact that people keep on applying this word ilm on various things, and some of those things are actually not categorized as the real knowledge, because we have this hadith from Usul al-Kafi, volume 2, narrated from Imam al-Kazim, alayhi salatu wa salam. And some of the narrations say that it is from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, because he saw a bunch of people gathering around somebody. And when Prophet inquired, he was told that this somebody, qila annahu allamatun, that this guy around whom the people were gathering, this guy is allama. Well, allama is a superlative degree in the Arabic grammar, which stands for those of the scholars who are on extremely, extremely high level of knowledge. Not just a regular high level of knowledge, because it's more than a superlative degree. Because superlative degree in Arabic is allam. The sighatul mubalagha is allam. So then you add this small ta at the end, which in grammar we call it ta al-marbuta, you know, ta al-mubalagha, and that multiplies the mubalagha into several folds. So somebody who is extremely, extremely knowledgeable. So in our history and in the Islamic history, when we use the word allama in the books of hadith, it always, without any name preceding it, it always refers to Allama al-Majlisi, rahmatullahi alayh, of course, and he deserves the title because of what he did, you know, compiling so many books. And I remember Imam Khomeini ridwanullah alayh saying that when we just turn the pages of all the books that Allama al-Majlisi has written, and in Bihar al-Anwar alone is 114 volumes. 114 volumes is just for one book. And that's not the only book he has compiled. There are so many other books that he has written. So he said that when we just turn the pages of the books that he has written, your hands get tired by turning the pages. Just imagine for the person who has compiled. And if he got the news that somebody has one narration, one riwayat from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, and that guy is living in Syria, so he traveled all the way from Iraq. And in those days, they have donkeys and mules and camels. So he traveled all the way through the desert from Iraq to Syria so that he can get hold of one hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. So these were the kinds of hardships that our great scholars have faced to compile these glorious books. So he's called Allama when you're looking into any book of hadith and you find the word Allama written in the book, then it refers to him. And if you are studying any book of fiqh, Islamic jurisprudence, and you find the title Al-Allama mentioned in it without any name alongside the title, then it automatically refers to Allama Al-Hilli, rahmatullahi alayh, who again did great services to our Islamic jurisprudence and fiqh. And he is one of those precious few mujtahids who became mujtahid before reaching the age of Islamic bulugh and maturity. So, and recently we call Allama Tabatabai to be Allama because of what he did, you know, this Tafsir al-Mizan, and he was one of the most senior and one of the most, you know, one of the most the closest of the students of Ayatullah al-Uzma, Sayyid Qadhi, Tabatabai, rahmatullahi alayh. So he also deserves to be called Allama. Unfortunately, we misused in our Islamic countries. We have been, some people have been misusing this term for the Jahil people and calling them Allama, which is another sign of the ignorance. So in this hadith, we find that the Prophet found a bunch of people gathered around this guy, and somebody told the Prophet that this guy is Allama, and Prophet said, inquired, and he was told that this guy, he knows about the, you know, the Ansab, the genesis, the lineages of the people, of the Arabs, of Jahiliyyah. in the Arab society, in their lineages, in their family trees. Prophet said, إِنَّمَا هُوَ عِلْمٌ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَنْ عَلِمَهُ وَلَا يَضُرُّ مَنْ جَهِلَهُ. That's the type of knowledge that somebody who knows it gets no benefit, and somebody who doesn't know it, and this ignorance, this jahl, will have no harm on him. So, and then the Prophet said, إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ ثَلَاثٌ. As we are discussing about knowledge, it is important to know what the Prophet calls to be knowledge. And then he says that knowledge is only three. آيَةٌ مُحْكَمَةٌ أَوْ فَرِيضَةٌ عَادِلَةٌ أَوْ سُنَّةٌ قَائِمَةٌ وَمَا خَلَهُنَّ فَهُوَ فَضْلٌ. So, which is interpreted by our scholars that it's either the knowledge related to the aqaid and the belief system, or a knowledge related to the practical laws of Islam that we practice, the ahkam of sharia and the furu'uddin, or things related to the akhlaq and morality. And then Prophet said, وَمَا خَلَهُنَّ, and whatever is apart from these three is and something extra, فَهُوَ فَضْلٌ. So that's not categorized to be knowledge in the dictionary of the Prophet. This is an extra thing that you learn. So what we understand in the light of this hadith, that when we enter into the grave, what accompanies our soul is these three things. The knowledge of the beliefs of Haqq, and the nur that you have gathered in your spirituality by practicing the ahkam of the sharia, and the nur that you have gathered in your soul by acquiring the spiritual divine values and morals. So ilmul aqaid and ilmul ahkam and ilmul akhlaq, these are the three nur which are in your soul as we are laid into our graves, and nothing but these three. Because everything else of the good deeds you perform is because of these three things. So this makes things more clear that what is called knowledge. There's another hadith which you may have heard from some scholars, al-ilmu ilman, ilmul adyan, wa ilmul abdan. Ilm is of two kinds, knowledge of the religions and knowledge of the bodies. This is not an authentic hadith. This is a da'ifa and weak narration which we do not rely upon. So I won't even mention this thing, and just to let you be clear in your minds about the fact that this is not authentic. This is not how we classify the knowledge, ilmul adyan and ilmul abdan. So this is about the types of knowledges. Now the knowledge has its mashrab. Like I promised to inform you, we will discuss the mashrab of ilm. And the mashrab of ilm, before we move forward to the fawaid and benefits of learning knowledge, the mashrab of ilm is the source, which is extremely important, which is actually more important than the knowledge, in the sense that if you are mistaken about the source, whatever you may perceive to be knowledge has no authenticity, which makes the source of knowledge to be more important than what you learn itself. So we find Imam Sadiq alayhi salam saying, that's in Kafi, that كُلُّ عِلْمٍ لَا يَخْرُجْ مِنْ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ فَهُوَ بَاطِلٌ. Every knowledge that doesn't come out from this house is batil and falsehood. And وَأَشَارَ بِيَدِهِ إِلَى بَيْتِهِ, and he pointed with his hand towards his house. So every knowledge that doesn't come out from the household of Ahlul Bayt is batil. So that's the ilmul akhirat that we learn from them. Also, when somebody asked, we find in the tafsir, when somebody asked Imam alayhi salam about this ayat of Quran, فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ لَتَعَامِهِ, human must look towards his food. So what is the meaning? What does Allah mean when he says a human should look towards his food? And that's where Imam alayhi salam said that a person should look towards the source of knowledge. You know, from whom are you seeking the knowledge? The source of knowledge is very important. This is what Allah means. That means look towards the source of knowledge. Another hadith from Prophet says, طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم فاطلب العلم في مظانه واقتبسوه من أهله. Seeking knowledge is a duty on every Muslim. Well, technically speaking, let's be clear that when the word Muslim is used, no one should be mistaken, because in grammatically, in Arabic, the masculine tense automatically includes the feminine. And this is Babu Taghlib. We call it Babu Taghlib in the grammar. So whenever a hadith talks about a masculine, there is no need for, like some people say nowadays, in today's English conversation, the he and she together. Whereas even in the old English, you never used to, you never stand in need to say he and she, because the he always included the she. Whereas nowadays, they tend to say he and she together. In Arabic, there is no need to mention the feminine tense, because masculine includes the feminine, technically speaking. It applies on the feminine equally. So Prophet said, طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم. Seeking knowledge is wajib, فريضة on every Muslim. It's not just on the man. It automatically, the women also fall under the same ruling in hukum. فطلب العلم في مظانه. So seek the knowledge from the some where the knowledge is expected to be found. جایی که گمان داشته باشید که علم را از اونجا می توانید کسب کنید. مغان نہیں, جہاں سے آپ کو علم حاصل کرنے کا گمان ہو کہ آپ کو وہاں سے حقیقی علم مل سکتا ہے. واقتبسوہ من اہلہ, and seek it from the اہل, those who are اہل of knowledge. اہل, the word اہل in Arabic means, is derived, is it means the انس, those who have انس with علم. We say اہل الجنہ means those who have انس with the paradise. We say اہل البیت, it means those who have uns with the Baytul Nubuwa, because the word Ahlul Bayt means Ahlul Baytul Nubuwa. There is Mudaf Ilayh, which is hidden. So Ahlul Bayt means Ahlul Baytul Nubuwa. So those who have uns with the Nubuwa of Rasulullah. So Ahlul Ilm means those who have uns, those who are ma'noos and familiar with the knowledge. So we need to seek from them. And also another riwayat says, فَانْظُرُوا عِلْمَكُمْ عَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَهُ. Look at the knowledge, look at your knowledge from whom you are seeking it. From whom? That means the source. So that's extremely important, that we don't just listen to anybody, you know, from whom we think we can learn, unless somebody, there has to be some certification. Isn't that right? Even for our regular jobs in the US, you go and seek a job. You think any employer is going to provide you a job without seeking your certifications and documents and certificates and diplomas? You must be kidding. And your job experience, isn't that right? How many years you have a job experience? But unfortunately, when it comes to the Islamic knowledge, you barely find people who even ask the scholars that, do you have some certification from somewhere, from some recognized Islamic hausa, any hausa, or what's your job experience? You know, people, some of the very academically qualified people tend to be so simple-minded in their approach when it comes to religion and spirituality. And that's why they got fooled. The same kind of intelligence they apply on their workplace, they don't apply at the religious worship and the religious affairs, unfortunately. And that's what basically they fall in the trap of seeking knowledge from unauthentic sources. There is no authenticity in hujjiyat. If you go and learn from just anybody out there, then you ask for it. You are responsible, and you can't hold yourself free of any responsibility in the face of Allah on the Day of Judgment if you did this type of situation. I mean, they are good and bad in scholars as well, isn't that right? They're good and bad in doctors, they're good and bad in engineers, they're good and bad in architects, they're good and bad in every profession. Scholars also come from the same society. They are not supernatural aliens coming from some outer space. They are part of the same society, isn't it right? So they are good and bad and scholars as well. In the time of the Prophet, somebody came and said, you know, Man khairun nas, who is the best of the humans? And Prophet replied, Al-ulama idha salahu. That means if they are salih and if they are good doers, then best of the humans are the scholars. If they are good doers and salih. And the same guy asked the Prophet, Man sharrun nas, who is the worst of the society. And Prophet said, Al-ulama idha fasad, if they are fasid. So this is nothing new that you are facing today. This has we have been facing even in time of Rasulullah. We need to have basirat and in-depth understanding in our approaches, not to become simple-minded. So this is nothing new that we are facing today. The Prophet has said, Al-fuqaha'u umana'u rusul ma lam yadkhulu fi dunya. The fuqaha are entrusted personalities of the messengers as long as they didn't enter into the world, into dunya. What is the meaning of entering into dunya? Qila ya Rasulullah wa ma dukhuluhum fi dunya. Qala ittiba'u sultan. Prophet said, what's the meaning of scholars, fuqaha entering into dunya? What's the meaning of that? And Prophet said, obeying the Tahut ruler, obeying the Sultan, obeying the illegitimate ruler, obeying the un-Islamic ruler. And then Prophet said, فَإِذَا فَعَلُوا ذَلِكَ فَحْذَرْهُمْ عَلَىٰ دِينِكُمْ. And if they do that, then you need to be cautious about them regarding your religion. So basically, we're not supposed to learn nothing of our religion from those type of fuqaha and those type of scholars who are obeying the Tahut. This has been told by Rasulullah. You see, everything has been told. If we behave in a simple-minded way, that's our fault. There's no gray area in Islam. All these things are black and white. And one of the signs of a scholar. And again, let me say what I said in the last Thursday. Let me repeat that thing because it's worth it. That when I am using the word alim, don't necessarily take it in the sense of somebody who is wearing a specific dress. Alim means somebody who has knowledge, a knowledgeable person. So if you, each one of you are also alim, because whatever number of issues of Islam that you have learned by now in your life, if you have learned 100,000 issues of Islam by now, you are an alim of those 100,000 masail. Isn't that right? You're not jahil, you have learned it. If you have learned 250,000 masail of Islam by now in your age, you are an alim of those 250,000. There's another alim maybe who has learned 1 million masail of Islam, he is an alim of those 1 million. And nobody's perfect, except the masumeen alayhi salam. Isn't that right? So when we are talking about the word alim, means a knowledgeable person. I mean, let's not exempt our own selves from the word alim. We are talking about something else, or he, Maulana, is talking about somebody else. No, it applies on every single mu'min among us and among the Islamic Ummah. So everybody is supposed to be careful because we have the knowledge for whatever amount of knowledge we have learned, we have that much. And this is about the mashrab of ilm that has to be from some authentic qualified source, which is of course our fuqaha and mujtahideen, who are the umana, who are the entrusted personalities of the messengers, umana of rasul. So unless and until you have learned your knowledge without learning from any authentic faqih and mujtahid, who is the ameen, umana, part of the umana of the messengers, what is the authenticity and hujjiyat and i'tibar of what you have learned? Nothing. That's why when we buy a book, we look at the name of the author. Isn't that right? We don't just buy any book written by anybody. You're not here to buy any information. There's more of the disinformation available than the information. Whether it's on the internet or in the books, Or even in the Islamic centers, you also find a lot of disinformation available. Even Islamic centers are, that's also prophesied in the Afaur Akhiruz Zaman, the final days. Masajiduhum amiratun wa hiya kharabun min al-huda. Isn't that right? Their masjids will be populated, will be full of those who are worshipping whatever, you know, and masajid will be full of people, will be well constructed, in other words, but hiya kharabun min al-huda. But the masjids in the final days will be void of guidance. That's exactly what we are finding even today. You build a $12 million center in such and such place in North America, and you put a ban on all those ulama who talk about Yawm al-Quds. Isn't that right? Why don't you just build a bar or a disco, you know? When you want to worship your desires and hawa nafs, let's do it, do one thing and do it right. When we are here to worship Allah, then let's do a thing in the proper way, okay? When we come to masjid, we don't apply our desires. We take pick and choose few things like a fruit salad. I like this, but I don't like that. So I pick and choose some of the rulings of Islam which are personal in nature, and I dump all the rest of the social obligations and political duties of Islam. Qurbatan ilallah. As if the Prophet never taught any Islamic political duties. That's why some people are doing in the name of Islam. Pick and choose, pick and choose. يَؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضٍ وَيَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضٍ. They have iman in some and they have kufr about some other. That's also told. It's nothing new which is happening. It's new for those people who are not ma'noos with Quran and the hadith. For them it's a news. For those who are ma'noos from bil Quran and hadith, it's nothing new what is happening. Masajid without guidance. La yabqa min al-Qur'an illa rasmuhu sayati zamanun. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said and prophesied, sayati zamanun, soon a time will arrive ala ummati, on my nation. La yabqa min al-Qur'an illa rasmuhu, nothing would remain from Quran except its writings. The writing of Quran will remain. That means Quran will not be practiced. And wala min al islam illa ismuhu. I can't read my writing because it has since some drop of water has fallen on the ink and I can't read it. I'm sorry, so I won't say that. Wahum masajiduhum amiratun wa hiya kharabun min al huda. Fuqaha u dhalik al zaman sharru fuqaha. Tahta dhilli sama', the fuqaha of those that time will be the worst of the fuqaha under the shadow of the heaven. Minhum kharajat al fitnatu wa ilayhim ta'ud. The fitna and mischief comes out from them and towards them it returns back. That's what the Prophet said. So it's going to happen. Sadaqa Rasulullah. Certainly Prophet said the truth and nothing but the truth. We need to be careful about that. So whom we can, you know, can obey, whom we can obey and whom we can listen and whom we can sit under the mimbar to listen and whom we can't listen. We need to remember in the light of the Holy Prophet and Holy Prophet's hadith. So once it is mentioned, Ayatullah Hasan Zada Amuli Hafidhahullah, one of our greatest Urafa who is alive today, Jami'u Jami' al-Ulum. He is one of those few precious personalities who has all the knowledges. And in his book, Dah Risale, 10 letters, just the name of his book, he has mentioned this hadith from Imam Sadiq al-Islam from Hafs ibn al-Ghiyath, narrates, that Zahara Iblis li Yahya ibn Zakariya alayhi salam wa idha alayhi ma'aliq min kulli shay. Iblis appeared for Yahya ibn Zakariya, Hazrat Yahya alayhi salam, and upon him were ma'aliq from everything. Ma'aliq is the plural of mi'laq. Mi'laq in Arabic means a tongue. So Satan had several tongues. Satan appeared to Hazrat Yahya, and he had several of those tongues. فَقَالَ لَهُ يَحْيَى Hazrat Yahya inquired, مَا هَذِهِ الْمَعَلِيقِ يَا إِبْلِيسِ What are these ma'aliq? And he said, هَذِهِ الشَّهَوَاتِ الَّتِي أَصَبْتُهَا مِنْ إِبْنِ آدَمِ These are the whims and wishes and desires and shahawat, khahishai nafsani, that I afflict on the human. Qala fahalli minha shay, is there something which is going to affect me? See, Hazrat Yahya is a ma'soom, is a prophet, isn't that right? He's not supposed to be worried about shaitan and his deceptions. But look at the approach. Nabi who is ma'asum doesn't have ujb and khudpasandi. So even though he's ma'asum, he's not seeing himself above and beyond, now I don't need any further uplift and advancement and, reaching higher levels. He's not thinking on those lines of ujb. So he asks shaitan, فَهَلِّي مِنْهَا شَيْءٍ Is there something from that? I mean, those ma'aliq that he had, is there anything for me? And shaitan replied, رُبَّمَا شَبِعْتَ فَسَقَّلْتُكَ عَنِ الصَّلَاةِ وَالذِّكْرِ That means, salawat. When you eat food and you eat in full, then that's the time when salat, the prayers, and zikr, remembrance of Allah, becomes saqeel and hard upon you. When you eat up the food in full, salat and zikr becomes saqeel and hard and heavy and burdensome for you. Qala Yahya, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that Yahya said, Lillahi alayya an la amla'a batni min at-ta'ami abada. Lillahi alayya is the sighatul nazr. Isn't that right? We have a sigha in our fiqh. When you do read, say, Lillahi alayya an af'ala kada wa kada wa kada, it means you are doing the nazr on shar'i. There's now wajib on you to do that. You can't disobey. There's a kafara if you do. So, Hazrat Yahya said, لِلَّهِ عَلَيَّ For the sake of Allah, it's incumbent and obligatory on me, and لَا أَمْلَأَ بَطْنِي That I shall never fill up my stomach with food, ever. Remember what I told you, I think, several years back, from my teacher, Ayatullah Jawadi, Amri Hafizahullah, where he had said that, when a person eats in full, the door of ma'naviyat gets shut. I remember I mentioned it several years ago here. The door of ma'naviyat is closed on your qalb, on your soul, if you eat full. And remember what Imam Ali alayhi salam had also said, that al-ilmu fil ju', knowledge is in hunger. And remember the hadith, in what has been mentioned and revealed to Prophet Musa in the hadith, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said to Prophet Musa, Sittatu ashiya fi sittati mawadi' wa nas yatubunaha fi sittati ashiya wa lan yajiduhu abada. Six things are at six places. Allah says in the wahi and revelation to Prophet Musa that six things are at six places. Whereas people are searching for those six things somewhere else. And they are never going to find it. Let's suppose you put your car keys here and then you search in your pockets. Are you going to find it? When you have put it here, then it's here. Isn't that right? You spend your whole life searching in your pockets, you're never going to find it. Allah says, I have put six things at six places. And people are searching for those six at six other places. At six places which are other than where Allah put. So one of those six, was this. Inni wada'tu ar-raha fil jannah, I have placed the rahat, aram, itmina, comfort, I have placed the comfort in the paradise. Inni wada'tu raha fil jannah wa nas yatlubunaha fid dunya. Whereas the people are seeking the rahat, the comfort in dunya. Inni wada'tu ijabata ad-du'a fi luqmatil halal. I have placed the acceptance of your dua, your prayers, in luqmatul halal. والناس يطلبونها في القيل والقال. And people are seeking ijabat of dua in just talking and chatting and, you know, saying things, and they think that's, you know, in other words, that's enough to make sure your dua is accepted. إني وضعت إني وضعت العزة في قيام الليل. I have placed the izzat, honor and dignity, in standing up in the night. Namaz al-shab, salatul layl, standing up in the night. وَالنَّاسْ يَطْلُبُونَهُ فِي أَبْوَابِ السَّلَاطِينَ. And people are seeking izzat and honor at the doors of the rulers. I can just get myself photographed next to such and such tahoot, and I'm going to hang that photograph in my living room for the rest of my life to feel proud in front of my grandchildren. Isn't that right? That's taking place. I'm not talking about some weird things and outrageous thing. This is exactly what is happening in some of the Shia households. They think they can get honored by getting photographed with a tahoot. Isn't that right? Where Allah says, إِنِّي وَزَعْتُ الْعِزَّةِ فِي قِيَامِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسْ يَطْلُبُونَهُ فِي أَبْوَابِ الْأَبْوَابِ السَّلَاطِينِ أَنَا إِنِّي وضعت العلم في الجوع والناس يطلبونه في الشبع. I have placed the knowledge in hunger, whereas people are looking for the knowledge in شبع, when their stomachs are full. When your stomach gets full, my teacher said, the door of ma'naviyat is shut on you. Nothing of the ma'naviyat and metaphysical Islamic teachings can now penetrate into your qalb any longer. That's the way it is. We need to understand, we need to remember this fact. So, rubbama shabat. So, this is what shaitan said to Hazrat Yahya. Sometimes, you know, you get full, and then what happens, you know, that of course prayers and zikr becomes hard. In other words, Hazrat Yahya said, for the sake of Allah, I will never fill up my stomach again, ever. And Iblis said, لِلَّهِ عَلَيَّ أَنْ لَا أَنْصَحَ مُسْلِمًا أَبَدًا. You know, Iblis also did his nazar and said that for the sake of Allah, it's incumbent and wajib and compulsory on me that I will never advise any Muslim ever in my life. And then Imam Sadiq al-Islam said to Hafs ibn al-Ghiyath, who is the narrator of the hadith, then Imam Sadiq al-Islam said to him that, Ya Hafs, lillahi ala Ja'far, for the sake of Allah, upon Ja'far, that means upon Imam Sadiq al-Islam, wa ala ala Ja'far, and on the family of Imam Ja'far Sadiq al-Islam, an la yamla'u butunahum min ta'amin abada. It's upon Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and his family and his Ahlul Bayt that they would never fill up their stomach ever. Well, Ahlul Bayt never did that anyway, even before narrating this hadith. We never find in the history of the Prophet or Imam Ali or any of the Ahlul Bayt eating food in full, ever, even once in their life. You can never prove it. Prophet sometimes used to tie up a stone on his stomach because of hunger. So that's how it decreases the hunger, because when you inflict this hardship on yourself, it helps you to overcome the hunger. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى جَعْفَرْ وَآلِ جَعْفَرْ أَنْ لَا يَعْمَلُوا لِلدُّنْيَا أَبَدًا. And it's an obligation on Ja'far, that Imam Sadiq al-Islam and his al, his Ahlul Bayt, his family, that never to do anything for the sake of this dunya. Ilm and mal and dunya are working next to each other, and they are opposites. It doesn't get combined. Some people are ready to go just for the sake of dunya, even if it is at the end of the day, they're going to get very less, which is not even worth it. Look at what Imam Ali said about Marwan ibn al-Hakam, la'anatullah alayh wa ala ali Marwan. Imam Ali said about Marwan that, the hadith says, inna lahu imratan ka la'qatil kalbi anfahu. Marwan is going to have a government for, what is the duration of the government? The duration of his government would be like the dog licking his nose. How long it takes for a dog to lick his nose? Isn't that right? It's very short while. This is the kinaya, how Imam Ali is making us understand the short duration of the government of Marwan. But look at, even despite the fact that his government is going to be that short, but he is still ready to sell out his iman and faith. كَلَّقَّتِ الْكَلْبِ أَنْفَهُ. Like a dog licks his nose. So in the tafsir of Imam Askari alayhi salam, about the tafsir of the verse Iyyaka na'budu, you only we worship, it has been mentioned in the hadith that man la yara li Ali ibn Abi Talib haqqan, somebody who doesn't see any haqq for Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, sadaqatuhu mumassalatun lahu fi mithalil afa'i, his sadaqat, his charities that he gave will be personified for him like snakes. مثال الأفاعي تنهشه, that will bite him, وصلواته وعباداته ممثلة له في مثال الزبانية. And his prayers and worships will be personified for him in the form of those zabaniya. Zabaniya are ihtimal and those angels who are assigned to drop the people into the hellfire. Tadfa'uhu hatta tada'uhu ila jahannama di'an. Hatta tada'uhu ila jahannama di'an. Until those zabaniya angels throw him into the hell. And so nothing is going to be accepted unless and until we see the haqq for Imam Ali alayhi salam. That means haqq is ihtimalan the same haqqul walaya and imamat of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. Until so all of our salawat, all of our prayers, our good deeds and ibadat are resting on the fact whether or not we believe in the walayat and imamat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam or not. That's the icon of Islam. Unwanu sahifatil mu'min hubbu Ali. On the day of judgment, when the mu'min will get his book in his right hand, he will find on the top of the book, the title of the book is that Hubbu Ali. This guy is a lover of Ali. That will be written on the book of every single mu'min. Hubbu Ali. So Imam Ali's mahabbat is actually an icon and symbol of every mu'min and Islam. تُوضَعُ الْمَوَازِينُ الْقِسْطِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. On the day of judgment, the scales, mizan, tarazu, scales of justice will be placed. فَيُؤْتَ عَمَلُ الرَّجُلِ. An action of a guy will be brought. فَيُوضَعُ فِي مِزَانِهِ. And will be placed in his scale. ثُمَّ يُؤْتَ بِشَيْءٍ مِثْلِ الْغَمَامِ or مِثْلِ الصَّحَابِ. And then some action, something will be brought similar to a cloud. فَيُقَالُ لَهُ أَتَدْرِي مَاذَا. And then it will be said to the guy, do you know what it is? فَيَقُولُ لَا. He replies back, no, I don't know what it is. فَيُقَالُ هَذَا الْعِلْمُ الَّذِي عَلَّمْتَهُ النَّاسِ فَعَمِلُوا بِهِ بَعْدَكَ. This is your knowledge that you taught to others, and they practiced on that knowledge after you. You learn 100,000 masail of Islam and you are an alim of 100,000 masail. Now you teach these 100,000 things to those who don't know. And then people start practicing because you taught them the ilm of Quran and Ahlul Bayt. Now on the day of judgment, And every single person who practiced the knowledge, because you taught him a bit of knowledge, this knowledge is going to be brought in the form of a cloud, a huge thing to be placed on your mizan. So this is the zakat of ilm that we are supposed to, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ zakat. The hadith says, for everything there is a zakat, there is a tax. وَزَكَاتُ الْعِلْمِ أَن تُعَلِّمَهُ أَهْلَهُ. And the zakat of knowledge is that you teach the knowledge to those who deserve it. Not to those who don't deserve it. We are not here to spoil our words, you know. Isn't that right? An aqil doesn't speak to somebody from whom he's afraid the denial. He's going to deny what I say. Then we don't speak to those people from whom we are afraid that they will end up doing takzeeb of our statement, denying. إِنَّ الْعَاقِلْ لَا يُحَدِّثْ مَنْ يَخَافُ تَكْذِيبَهُ. So we talk to those who are ahl of the knowledge, not to those who are not the ahl of that knowledge. So that was about the mashrabul ilm, inshallah. And the next Thursday we will continue about the fawaid of the ilm and certain other subjects related to that. And the comparison between specifically the ilm and maal in the light of what Imam Ali والسلام, has said. وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الميامين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا الله 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 اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين